We have to come up with a compensation package for our most valuable asset, our faculty, to and as well as something, you know, a compensation for the rest of our employees, and we also have to deal with just some of the costs that just come with the territory. Additional inflationary costs to deal with the things that we need at the library, things like workers' comp insurance, Medicare taxes, payroll taxes, the things that we have to deal with in a normal course of business, which just increase over time. I think that in dealing with these challenges, we're keeping three things in mind. We want to basically protect the academic quality of the university. We want to make sure that we serve the students, and we also want to serve the patients that seek our clinical care at our medical facilities. And in doing whatever we do and plan to do as far as containing costs this year, next year, and in future years, is do with this in a fair way. Make the sacrifices in a fair way as best we can. Looking at the 2010 specifically, what we're doing right now is we have put aside $20 million at the beginning of the year, holding back monies for purposes of shortfalls in the appropriation and receipts from the state and state support. We have just initiated, and it is in process right now, an additional 6% holdback being requested from the campuses and the administration to about $45 million. It's in process right now. The way to achieve those that holdback is to put a clamp down on the vacancies, clamp down on hiring, attrition management, so that we just don't, if somebody leaves the university, we don't immediately rehire somebody new to fill that spot. So careful administration of our personnel costs, as well as our non-personal costs, basically doing our best to defer non-personal expenditures, commodity purchases, contractual services, purchases of equipment being very careful with regard to our travel costs of the university. So we have that put in process for 2010. If I look on what are the implications for 2011, we have a situation, I've already referred to it, that we're going to have to come up with a very reasonable salary program for 2011. And right now, in this case that I put together, just you might even call this maybe one of the best case, but an assumed case, about $32 million for a faculty and staff compensation program for 2011. And then again, these costs I was referring to, these costs that we have to deal with, about $7 million there for the costs associated with that. Against that, those are the incremental revenue expenses that we're going to face for 2011. Again, on the other side, the revenue side, we do have the loss of the $45.5 million of economic stimulus money. We do have a rollover effect, what we call a rollover effect of our tuition, about $20 million to the good. And so in this scenario, this case, about $65 million shortfall that we might be looking at for 2011. And again, this may be a best case, but it's just kind of food for thought with regard to the implications for 2011. Lastly, I think, you know, how we're going to deal with the 2011 budget. We're going to build off the cost reductions, the things that we're putting in place for 2010. But we're going to concentrate on structural adjustments to our budget. We are already in process to put in a $15 million administrative cost adjustment over 3 years. But we're going to be looking hard at any kind of restructurings, eliminations, consolidations of university activities across the board going forward in order to deal with this. The key to this is basically that those types of reductions will probably be greater than anybody expects for the 2011 budget, but we'll still end up and set the scene for a tuition discussion coming up next year with a tuition that probably is more than anybody wants as far as the as tuition is concerned. So I guess that would be just my summary of my comments with regard to how we're doing so far in 2010 and what we're looking at as far as our budget challenges for 2010 and 2011. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Walt. If I could just summarize, it would simply be this. We face extremely serious cash flow problems in FY 2010 this year, and we face extremely serious budget problems in FY 2011, and we are working hard to address both sets of problems. Comments, questions from the board? Okay, thank you for your attention. I'd like to turn next to the university's most important resource, our faculty. I was grateful to Chairman Kennedy for asking us to share with the board how we're doing in terms of being competitive in attracting and retaining our faculty, and I've asked Vice President Rao to make a short presentation to inform you. Mina?
Thank you, President White. Thank you, Trustee Kennedy. My presentation is going to be two parts because there was also a request to update the fall undergraduate admissions. I have a very brief slide on that. For fall 2009, we've had a very, can I have the next slide, please? For fall 2009, we have a very robust applicant pool on all three of our campuses. Listed as first-time freshmen and transfer students. Approximately 60% of the freshman applicants are admitted, and 21 to 27% of these applicants eventually land up enrolling on our three campuses.
There's nothing like a budget report to clear up.
I was going
to
say that.
You did it again, Walt.
Excuse me.
That's fine.
Go ahead, Mina.
The number of transfer students, as you can see, ranges from 17% on the Urbana campus to 31% in Chicago and 69% in Springfield. The student demand, therefore, for entering University of Illinois is strong. And the next slide is reflective of a trend of over the past 5 years. Our total number of applicants, both for freshmen and transfer students, has increased, as well as the number of admits have increased. The accompanying actual raw numbers for this graphic is in a table in your handout and also shows the distribution across the three campuses. If there are no questions about the admissions, I'd like to now switch to the faculty compensation presentation. It's coming. The university's biggest assets are its personnel. And faculty, as you saw last night, are the bedrock of the academic enterprise. The talents and preparations of our faculty are the key to assuring quality of academic offerings. As in all universities, tenure system faculty commit to and achieve the triple goal of research, teaching, and service, and some translate their work into economic development opportunities. Equally important to the academic enterprise are those faculty listed in this table as other faculty who dedicate themselves to one or two of these prongs of academic enterprise. They are extremely critical to the teaching mission of our large colleges and the teaching and clinical mission of the medical center and the hospital. So how do we compensate our faculty? Next slide, please. Shown here in the blue graph, in the three bar graphs, are the average faculty salaries for tenure system faculty and how they compare with our peer groups as defined by the Illinois Board of Higher Education and our top competitors. Please note that this comparison is only for salary. It's not for any other measure. And also, these rankings do not shift appreciably if one examines the total compensation, salary, and benefits. In other words, our benefits are in par with what our peers offer. So Urbana ranks 21st amongst its peers for salary comparison, Chicago 14th, and Springfield 13th. So who are our peers? The Illinois, next slide, please. The Illinois Board of Higher Education in 1985 performed a detailed analysis of the peer group of higher education institutions. And this has been a useful comparison for the past two decades. Shown in the left column are the competitors for Urbana-Champaign, and Urbana's top competitors are a nationwide mix of private and public institutions. And even amongst the public institutions, Urbana falls below public peers like UC Berkeley. Urbana runs neck to neck in competition with Berkeley on a number of academic spheres, but clearly not in salary. In the case of UIC, in addition to the IBHE competitors, the University of Chicago, Northwestern University, and UCLA, another large urban research-intensive university, are listed. The reason is University of Chicago and Northwestern University serve as a very effective competitive sink, especially for underrepresented and junior faculty stars on the Chicago campus. These faculty are recruited to the area by UIC, acclimated, and then enticed by the private institutions. Of course, it is a two-way process, and sometimes we've done the robbing. Similarly, Springfield is compared to other institutions which have small public liberal arts offerings. The question is, has this always been the case? And if I can have the next slide, please. As you can tell, there has been a slippage in terms of our competitive salary offerings, and this slippage has been definite and getting worse over time. Shown here is a 25-year comparison or timeline of average salaries of the Urbana and Chicago faculty to the average salary of the top private research institutions in their comparison block. There are two issues at play here. First, the U of I salaries have not kept up in pace with their peers. And second, the gap has increased from less than 9,000 in 1982 to more than 30,000 to 40,000 in 2009. One of these problems is also shared with other public universities, in that public universities across the country are losing our competitive edge to the private institutions. So what are the resources that we use for salary? And some of it was covered by Walt a few minutes ago. Next slide, please. The state GRF, the General Revenue Funds, and tuition provide the major source of unrestricted funds for salary. As much as 50% of the annual operating budget incremental request that Walt spoke about is needed for salary competitiveness and strategic initiatives, many of the strategic initiatives directly or indirectly support faculty activities. The request also encompasses maintenance and Medicare and other cost increases. The needs for the general revenue funds include not only the faculty salary, but also instructional costs, and more recently, our three campuses have spent a lot of the, have used some of the general revenue funds for increasing institutional financial aid to our students. Tuition is a critical support of faculty salaries increases, but increasing tuition costs alone to sustain faculty competitiveness is not a tenable solution. Grants and contracts for research are restricted funds and are a huge asset that the faculty themselves bring in. However, this asset makes the faculty even more attractive to our competitors. And the other point about grants and contracts is that grants and contracts to support salary is not available in every discipline. Endowments are slow in garnering and are often restricted funds, and we are most grateful for every dollar received. So the improvements in our competitive compensation will require a multi-year approach, and we are continuing to work on it, especially in efforts to retain our valued faculty. So the next slide will tell you a little bit about our faculty being attracted to other institutions. So by firm offers received by U of I tenure system faculty, we mean an actual offer letter. On the average, the tenure system faculty at U of I receive about 140 firm offers each year. In 2008, 79 of these were received by Urbana faculty, 59 in Chicago, and 4 in Springfield. 37% of these faculty decided to resign, 57% stayed on in 2008, and of the faculty who stayed, many of them had to be enticed to stay with counteroffers. We are finding in the last couple of years that many of the faculty who decide to resign and leave tend to move to private institutions rather than other competing public institutions. Next slide, please. So often counter offers, about 50 to 70% of the counter offers that are proffered to our faculty are accepted, and we are able to retain these faculty much to our advantage. However, counteroffers tend to be very expensive and include features like salary adjustment, summer research support, equipment purchases and upgrades, laboratory facility modifications and upgrades, graduate research assistance and other research support. The deferred maintenance and the crumbling infrastructure is a great deterrent to retaining our faculty, and especially this happens in the hardcore sciences. However, in all